Let's go now, though, to discuss this more to John Frankel, who's a professor in comparative politics at Victoria University of Wellington. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's a pretty significant announcement, isn't it? And it's a lot of money.
Yes, and I think it's to be welcomed in the aftermath of probably two decades where the MFAT's capacity has been reduced. New Zealand's lost a lot of diplomatic strength in the region during a period when Australia was briefly expanding. New Zealand aid also declined, not in absolute terms, but as a percentage of GNP. So it's good to hear that there's a shift in the other direction now and that New Zealand will be more engaged with the Pacific region.
What do you know about where this money will be spent? And if you don't have those details, where do you think it should be spent?
Well, I think at the moment the details are thin, although there's some talk about climate change, and there's a lot of talk about pushing money out through the multilateral agencies like the United Nations, the World Bank, the Asian Development Bank, rather than directly. Remember that the national government folded the New Zealand Aid Organization, and although there is a dedicated aid arm within MFAT, it's not separate and probably hasn't got the capacity to suddenly run a large number of new projects. We shouldn't get carried away with this. Remember that although aid to the Pacific is welcome, although increased diplomatic capacity to the Pacific is welcome, there have been a lot of disastrous aid projects around the Pacific over previous decades, and aid can be spent
like what?
There's been, you know, sometimes aid projects are too closely related to trying to advance the interests of New Zealand or Australian firms. Sometimes there are vanity projects that have been constructed in the region that aren't particularly useful or suitable. There are loads of examples of failed aid projects going back over decades. There are also better projects, like I think perhaps New Zealand's aid to the education sector in the Solomon Islands has been an example of better delivered aid. And there's a whole question of what balance to put in aid prioritization. The former government certainly used the phrase sustainable economic development a lot of the time, which often meant advancing New Zealand business interests. Labour-led governments have often put emphasis on poverty alleviation or the Millennium Development Goals. Now, I think that some of those issues still need to be sort of thought through by the new government.
Yeah, I mean, how much autonomy would there be and how much of this money is going to flow through to projects which countries in the Pacific are able to drive themselves? Mm-hmm. And how much will be sort of overseen by diplomats? Because, I'm sure the money's going to be welcome in the Pacific, but if you've got people just coming in and telling you what to do still, then you can run into a problem, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a shift both in Australia and New Zealand away from direct budget support over recent decades towards project support and projects administered often by multilateral aid agencies, a lot of spending on consultants. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think the other interesting thing, of course, is that a lot of the focus of expanded aid, both in Australia and New Zealand, has been security concerns, and in particular, concerns about China's increased presence in the region. Only a few weeks ago, we had a ridiculous panic about a supposed wharf being built in Loganville in the north of Vanuatu. I think that, I mean, the securitization of aid is not a new thing. It runs way back to the Cold War and even earlier, but sometimes that can distract aid donors from the priorities of improving economic development in the region.
And just finally, what role do you think the expansion of Chinese interests in the Pacific is having on this decision? I mean, is that a factor?
Yeah, I think it certainly is a factor. It's very clear. Particularly in the announcements in Australia, that they're going to fund this cable to Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea. Clearly driven by the attempt to offset Huawei, the Chinese firm that was going to construct a similar cable. And Winston Peters has made comments also about the concerns about China. But China is here to stay. China's not going to disappear from the Pacific. And I think constructive aid management will entail more things like the combined project in Rarotonga, where New Zealand is working alongside China trying to deliver infrastructure needs to a small island developing country.
Thanks very much for your time. That's John Frankel, who is a professor in comparative politics at Victoria University.